Okay, so what I'm now going to do is I'm going to read from Genesis 37, and I would like everybody at the front, as you hear something that's written on your piece of paper, if you could move to the front, and then hopefully we'll have loads and loads of objects, and your opinions of me will have improved by the end. Okay, so I'm reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Jacob continued to live in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived, and this is the story of Jacob's family. Jacob's son Joseph, a man of 17, took care of the sheep and goats with his brothers. But he brought bad reports to his father about what his brothers were doing.
Telling tales.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tale, that is. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he'd been born to him when he was old. And he made an ornate robe with full sleeves for him, and he gave it to him. But when his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than he loved them, they hated their brother so much that they wouldn't speak to him in a friendly manner. One time, Joseph had a dream, and when they told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to the dream I had. We were all in a field tying up sheaves of wheat when my sheaf got up and stood up straight. Yours formed a circle round mine and bowed down to it. Do you think you're going to be a king and rule over us?" his brothers asked. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of what he'd said about them. Then Joseph had another dream and told his brothers, "I had another dream in which I saw the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept thinking about the whole matter. One day, when Joseph's brothers had gone to Shechem to take care of their father's flock, Jacob said to Joseph, "I want you to go to Shechem where your brothers are taking care of their flock." Joseph answered, "I'm ready." His father told him, "Go and see if your brothers are safe and if the flock is all right, and then come back and tell me." So his father sent him on his way to the Hebron Valley. But Joseph's brothers saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted against him and decided to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes that dreamer. Come on now, let's kill him and throw his body into the dry wells. Let's throw his body into a big dry well." Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Reuben heard them and tried to save Joseph. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Let's just throw him in the well, but don't hurt him." Then he said this, planning to save his brother from them and send him back to his father. When Joseph came up to his brothers, they ripped off his long robe with full sleeves. Then they took him and threw him into the well. While they were eating, they suddenly saw a group of Ishmaelites traveling from Gilead to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother and covering up the murder? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites." His brothers agreed. And when some Midianite traders came by, the brothers pulled Joseph out of the well and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Then they killed a goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. They took the robe to their father and said, "We found this. Does it belong to you?" He recognized it and said, "Yes, it's his. Some wild animal has killed him. My son Joseph has been torn to pieces." Jacob tore his clothes in sorrow and put on sackcloth. He mourned his son for a long time. Meanwhile, in Egypt, the Midianites had sold Joseph to Potiphar, one of the king's officers, who was the captain of the palace guard. Okay, so thank you so much to my helpers for telling the story. And as you can see, locking someone in a shed, making them late for school and hiding an alarm clock under their bed is really not so bad after all. Could I have a big clap for our helpers and ask you to sit down? If we could leave them at the back, please, especially like my daughter's purse and the key to my garage. That's my garage key, might take that. Brilliant.
Okay, so Lou has introduced us to the story of Joseph so far. Joseph was sold off by his brothers, and they told his father Jacob that he was dead. Now, before we unpick this a little bit more, I want to think back to, as Lou has reminded us, of the series we've been doing. We've been looking at fathers and sons. Can anyone remember the father and son we did in September? No? Okay, so in September we had Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac was supposed to be being sacrificed. And last month we had Isaac and his arguing sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob managed to cheat his way into gaining his father's blessing and bargained for his birthright. So now in this story, we're meeting Jacob later in life. He's now got many children of his own, including his obvious favourite of Joseph. Joseph was Jacob's favourite, but he was also, as the clip we've just shown shows, the one chosen by God to do some great things. I wanted us to think about these two previous stories because just like Isaac and Jacob, Joseph should not have been the chosen one. Joseph was an unexpected child, just like Isaac and Jacob were. Just like Jacob, Joseph was not the firstborn. He should not have been, in those times, the special one. But he was the man that God chose to do some special things. I think this tells us something about who God chooses to do his work. Sometimes God puts the people we least expect in place to do some important things. God's own son Jesus came from the most unlikely family to become a king. Now there's a bit of a challenge here for us. We need to treat everyone with respect, not just those that are maybe born into a certain position. So, we've got God choosing an unexpected person to do his work, Joseph. This made me think about a particular article in the news this week. I don't know how many of you read it. There was a survey in Scotland about people's views to homeless people. 40% of the people interviewed said they were scared to approach a homeless person. I maybe want to suggest that just as God used Joseph, maybe it's just as likely that he might use a homeless person. Or maybe that person that's not very popular at school to do his work. Our challenge is to be as open and inclusive to everyone, regardless of their position or their background. So, our first point from this story is that God chooses unexpected people to be important in his work. And our second point is forgiveness is key. Now, at the end of that clip we watched, Joseph chose to forgive his brothers. He could not have done. He could have sent them all back with no food, no money. He could have thrown them all into jail, but he didn't. Of course, it's really easy to talk about forgiveness, but it's very difficult to practice it. We should all forgive people, we know that, but sometimes it's easier said than done. Is there someone you need to forgive this morning? God wants us to not wait for that person to be asked to be forgiven, but to give them first. That's what Joseph did. His brothers didn't even know who he was. They didn't ask for forgiveness. But because Joseph had seen that his brothers had changed, he forgave them. I think forgiveness is easier if we think about what it isn't. Forgiveness is not pretending something never happened. It's not saying that what happened was good or right. It's not a glossing over of an important issue. Forgiveness is not letting people run all over you. Forgiveness is a choice we make to release someone from a debt they owe us. This is exactly what God has done for us Jesus was sent to die for us so that we could be forgiven. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that all of us could have a great future with God. In Colossians 3, Paul tells the people he is writing to that they should bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, this advice might be nearly 2,000 year old advice, but I think it's pretty true for today, just as it was then. Lastly, from this story, I find it pretty inspiring that through all the trials that Joseph was faced with, he shows integrity, honesty, and some pretty solid work ethics. His actions showed a real confidence in God, and he was faithful to God, even when it didn't feel like God was being faithful to him. He could have become really down when his brothers got rid of him. He spent years in jail before the Pharaoh brought him up and asked him about to interpret the dreams. But he still, through all that time, remains faithful to God. Joseph was used by God. Like I said, he was God's chosen person in this story to fulfill God's purpose. And God has a plan for each of us. It wasn't God's plan that the brothers should be nasty to Joseph, but it was God's plan that he should end up in Egypt. God needed to keep his family alive through the famine so that Jesus could be born to save us. Joseph made this happen and helped save his family from the famine. So, Joseph plus Egypt plus corn meant that God's family survived. In the same way, God has a plan for all of us. It might not be the plan we thought or the plan we want it to be, but it will be God's plan. So often we might think about the things that God could have done in our lives, or the things that he didn't do that we wanted to happen. But we have a really important decision to make. Will we put our faith in God or in our circumstances? When you find yourself in a situation just like Joseph did, where you might feel that God doesn't care, it's the right time to put your faith in what the Bible tells us about God. So, our 3 points. God chooses unexpected people to be important in his work, just like Joseph. Forgiveness is key, and God has a plan for us, even if it's not what we thought. I want to leave you with another little quote at the end from Hebrews. He will never leave you or forsake you. Even when times are tough, Joseph trusted in God despite his circumstances. And the challenge for us today is to trust in God, even when things might not be going the way we expected them to. Let's pray. Dear God, we want to thank you for the life of Joseph. We want to thank you for his obedience and his faithfulness in you. Pray that you can be with us this week as we think about some of these challenges this passage gives to us. Help us think about being inclusive, about maybe looking for talents in people that may not have the opportunity to use them. Help us to forgive. And help us to think about the challenge you give to us for the plan you have for our lives. Amen.